Okay, coming conflict of Christless countries, part 2. Every believer knows that the Lord especially commanded and emphasized that His people are to love one another. Romans chapter 12 verse 10, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 9, Hebrews chapter 13 verse 1, 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 22, and 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 7. In particular, Romans chapter 12 verse 10 says, "Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another." When we say brotherly love, we are of course referring to brotherly and sisterly love. But those believers who are willing to step out of their own limits to show true love to their brothers and sisters often suffer obstacles and hindrance. If we do not recognize these obstacles and apply resistance, then it is somewhat a waste of effort to want to achieve something in the area of brotherly love. A key to peace is to examine today the character flaws of Antiochus Epiphanes that we must take note of and eradicate. This sounds like it's very negative, but in reality, it is a path one must take in order to improve. Daniel chapter 11 records prophecies about Persian and Grecian kings. Last week, in verses 5 to 20, we have traced the history of the two parts of Alexander's empire which had to do with the Jews, namely the Seleucid and Ptolemaic kingdoms, to the time of Seleucus the IV. From verses 21 to 35, Daniel's prophecy is focused on him who is already mentioned in chapter 8, who is already mentioned as the little horn of Daniel chapter 8 verse 9. In other words, verses 21 to 35 center on Antiochus the IV, Epiphanes. Roman numeral 1. Antiochus Epiphanes was an ambitious deceiver. Antiochus Epiphanes was an ambitious deceiver. Verses 21 to 24 reads, "And in his estate shall stand up a vile person to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. And the arms of a flood shall they be overflown from before him, and shall be broken, yea, also the prince of the covenant. And after the league made with him, he shall work deceitfully, for he shall come up, and shall become strong with a small people. He shall enter peaceably, even upon the fattest places of the province, and he shall do that which his fathers have not done, nor his fathers' fathers. He shall scatter them among them the prey, and spoil, and riches, yea, and he shall forecast his devices against the strongholds, even for a time." When Seleucus the IV died, his son Demetrius should have become king. Instead, Antiochus the IV, the brother of Seleucus the IV, proclaimed himself king. He gained the throne through scheming, flattery, and intrigue. Verse 21. He called himself Epiphanes, meaning illustrious one. But he was so contemptible that his contemporaries called him Epimenes, meaning madman. Those armies that would invade Syria were themselves turned back and defeated by Antiochus Epiphanes. Verse 22. The prince of the covenant, who also was broken, probably refers to the Jewish high priest who was killed early in Antiochus' reign by his own brother, who favored some of Antiochus' ideals. Verse 23. The league made with him, refers to an alliance made with Egypt. Cleopatra the First, who was Antiochus' sister, was queen mother of Egypt. Ptolemy the Sixth was actually Antiochus Epiphanes' nephew. Look at verse 23 again. And after the league made with him, he shall work deceitfully, for he shall come up and shall become strong with a small people. How did Antiochus seek to gain control of Egypt? Through deception. And why is deception an attractive way for a leader to gain power? Deception allows a leader to create a reality that will bring him the most power. Antiochus Epiphanes was able to increase his power even though Rome had reduced the size of the Syrian kingdom before his rule began. Verse 23 again. Verse 24 describes his domestic policy. He practiced land reform, whereby he redistributed the wealth of his nation among the people, thus gaining the support of the masses. He weakened the fortified cities, thus reducing the threat of internal revolt while he was out of the country, campaigning against foreign powers. His fathers had not practiced this policy. Not only was Antiochus Epiphanes an ambitious deceiver, Roman numeral 2, he was an aggressive destroyer. He was an aggressive destroyer. Woman to her date, tell me, Donald, do you think I'm too aggressive? I want the straight answer, and I want it now. Just as we have an aggressive woman on a date, we have an aggressive destroyer here. Let's read verses 25 to 31 responsively, and I shall begin. Verse 25, and he shall stir up his power and his courage against the king of the south with a great army, and the king of the south shall be stirred up to battle with a very great and mighty army, but he shall not stand, for they shall forecast devices against him. Yea, they that feed of the portion of his meat shall destroy him, and his army shall overflow, and many shall fall down slain. And both these kings' hearts shall be to do mischief, and they shall speak lies at one table, but it shall not prosper, for yet the end shall be at the time appointed. Then shall he return into his land with great riches, and his heart shall be against the holy covenant, and he shall do exploits and return to his own land. At the time appointed, he shall return and come toward the south, but it shall not be as the former or as the latter. For the ships of Kittim shall come against him, therefore he shall be grieved and have indignation against the holy covenant. So shall he do. He shall even return and have intelligence with them that forsake the holy covenant. Together, an arm shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. After securing a firm home base, Antiochus Epiphanes prepared a large army to fight Egypt, which Ptolemy led. Last week, we saw that Antiochus III arranged a marriage of his daughter Cleopatra to the 10-year-old Ptolemy V. Antiochus III intended that his daughter would act in his interests. Now, Antiochus III had promised Israel to Ptolemy V as part of Cleopatra's dowry. Antiochus Epiphanes now wanted it back. He was able to march through Israel to the very borders of Egypt, where he met the army of Ptolemy VI, which was even larger than his army. However, because some of Ptolemy VI's leaders plotted against him, Antiochus Epiphanes won decisively and killed many Egyptians. Verse 26. Antiochus Epiphanes succeeded in overthrowing and capturing Ptolemy the VI. Some Egyptians then made his brother Ptolemy the VII king of Egypt in Alexandria. Verse 27 describes the deceptiveness between Ptolemy the VI and Antiochus Epiphanes. After capturing his nephew, Antiochus pretended friendship and showed hospitality to Ptolemy the VI, eating at one table. But neither king intended to keep his word. Both men tried to use the other as a means of gaining control over Egypt. However, they were not able to take Alexandria from the new king. Antiochus Epiphanes installed Ptolemy the VI as king of Memphis. However, after Antiochus Epiphanes returned to Syria, the two Ptolemy brothers worked out a joint rule in Egypt. Verse 28 describes Antiochus Epiphanes' return home with the booty he had taken from Egypt. As he passed through Judah, he took time to put down a minor Jewish revolt, slaughtering many Jews, selling many of them into slavery, and plundering the temple. He accomplished what he wanted there and then continued home to Syria. Hearing of the coalition formed by the two brothers, Antiochus Epiphanes again set out against Egypt, the south, in 168 BC, verse 29. However, he was not to have the success of the former campaigns, for he would be turned back by the ships of Kittim, verse 30. While Antiochus Epiphanes was besieging Alexandria, Rome, now an emerging power, sent many soldiers by ship to stop Antiochus Epiphanes. The Roman Senate had written him a letter demanding that he did not fight Egypt. When he hesitated to turn back, the Roman leader drew a circle in the sand around Antiochus and demanded an answer before he stepped out of the circle. And not wishing to risk war with Egypt and Rome, he was forced to return home very dejected, not having fought at all. Antiochus Epiphanes was an ambitious deceiver. He was an aggressive destroyer. Better see, he was an abusive desolator. He was an abusive desolator. True story. A mother was shopping at a mall with her 3-year-old daughter who was growing weary of the outing. To renew her interest in shopping, the mother asked if she would like to visit the toy store that was just ahead. The daughter responded enthusiastically and took off toward the toy store as fast as her little feet could carry her. To keep up with her child, the mother broke into a trot. As the mother approached the racing child, she said, "I'm going to beat you to the store." The girl looked around and screamed, "Don't beat me, mommy! Don't beat me!" The startled mother looked around and realized that everyone in the mall was watching with shock and fear for this poor child. Now what? The woman in the mall wasn't really an abusive mother, but we have an abusive desolator here. Verses 31 to 35 reads, "And arms shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. And such as do wickedly against the covenant, but shall he corrupt by flatteries. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And they that understand among the people shall instruct many. Yet they shall fall by the sword and by flame, by captivity and by spoil many days. Now when they shall fall, they shall be holpen with a little help, but many shall cleave with them with flatteries, and some of them of understanding shall fall, to try them, and to purge, and to make them white, even to the time of the end, because it is yet for a time appointed. Frustrated in his desire to conquer Egypt, Antiochus vented his anger on Jerusalem as he returned home. He wanted to replace Judaism with Hellenism, fusing all the nationalities of his kingdom into one people. He horribly persecuted those Jews who resisted his reform, though some apostate Jews assisted him in his plans. Verse 30b. But why would Jews help Antiochus Epiphanes abuse other Jews? They were interested in personal gain. They saw appeasing the leader as a better avenue for gain than being obedient to God. With his troops, Antiochus Epiphanes forced the temple services to cease. Pagan rites were forced on the Jews and practiced in the sanctuary. He defiled the temple of the sacrifice of a sow and a statue of Zeus. Verse 31. Even apostate priests were flattered into joining him in his efforts. Verse 32a. However, there were those who resisted him, people that do know their God. Matthias Maccabeus and his five sons led them. For a time they had remarkable success, although some of his sons were killed. Verse 33. And cross-reference to Daniel chapter 8 verses 10 to 14. Verse 34 indicates that at times others joined the resistance as the movement gained popularity. Some Jews joined it hypocritically, without hearts faithful toward God. Verse 35 tells of those who fell in the revolt. God used this as a means of purifying his people. God was sovereign in this persecution and would end it in his time, for he has a purpose in all that he permits to happen to his people. Antiochus Epiphanes, an ambitious deceiver, an aggressive destroyer, and an abusive desolator. As we saw at the beginning, believers who are willing to step out of their own limits to show true love to their brothers and sisters often suffer obstacles and hindrance. If we do not recognize these obstacles and apply resistance, then it is somewhat a waste of effort to want to achieve something in the area of brotherly love. A key to peace is to examine the character flaws of Antiochus Epiphanes that we must take note of ourselves and eradicate. Roman numeral 4. Loving only your own self as the first obstacle to brotherly love. Loving only your own self as the first obstacle to brotherly love. Antiochus Epiphanes, being an ambitious deceiver, points to loving only your own self as an obstacle to brotherly love. What is the link between being an ambitious deceiver and loving only your own self? Well, what does deceiving people to gain power say about how that person views other people? A person who deceives people in order to gain power views other people as pawns to move around for his best interests. As a corollary, what does deceiving people to gain power say about how that person views himself? A person who deceives people in order to gain power loves only his own self. Loving only your own self causes one to be unable to build a selfless and affectionate relationship with other people. Paul made a scathing attack against loving only your own self in the following verse. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. 1 John chapter 3 verse 17 tells us that every believer, when he has trusted in the Lord, will be endowed with a generous nature. This is confirmation of someone who has trusted in the Lord. John says, but whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? This new nature is selfless and tends toward others. But after a while, the consciousness of loving only your own self once again brings our attention to our own self, causing us not to be like what the Bible says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Galatians chapter 6 verse 2. It causes us to become indifferent, unconcerned, sometimes even astonishingly despicable. We must be aware of our heart's tendency to love only our own self. We must put it to death. Otherwise, we will never be able to obtain brotherly love. Roman numeral 5. Losing control of your own self as a second obstacle to brotherly love. Losing control of your own self as the second obstacle to brotherly love. Antiochus Epiphanes was not only an ambitious deceiver, he was also an aggressive destroyer and an abusive desolator. Antiochus Epiphanes being an aggressive destroyer and abusive desolator points to losing control of your own self as another obstacle to brotherly love. The inability to control your own self will certainly destroy brotherly love. Some believers have a violent temperament, often getting angry and have difficulty getting along with other people. In James chapter 1 verses 19 to 20, James tells us to take note. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. When believers are not able to control their most despicable mood, their behavior showing not like what born-again saints should show, how much damage to brotherly love that will create. If we're not able to look at things from a rational point of view, handling things with love to the point of letting previous trivial sins incite fury and discontentment up in the depths of our hearts, how disappointed will we make other people? Indeed, charity shall cover the multitude of sins. 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 8. Proverbs chapter 10 verse 12 says, love covereth all sins. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 4 also says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Paul describes self-control or control of your own self as a component of love. In Ephesians chapter 4 verse 2, he tells us to be forbearing one another in love. This original Greek term translated to this term, forbearing, means being unruffled, patiently bearing when encountering situations. This then requires us to control our own self, thereby holding back certain unhealthy feelings and words that were originally spring up by the slightest arousal. This is a kind of self-control, making us become aware of when we should stop, when we should pray. Life is always full of trivial matters that will cause one to be indignant and give rise to misunderstandings. But in the fellowship of God's people, All these must be overcome by an attitude that is firm and unruffled. Based on examination of the character flaws of Antiochus Epiphanes, we talked about two obstacles to brotherly love today: loving only your own self and losing control of your own self. Do you love only your own self? Do you often lose control of your own self? If we do not take note and eradicate these two obstacles to brotherly love, then we'll miss out on so many blessings. We will become such great obstacles in HBC's peaceful spiritual path. If this is the case, we will certainly suffer the Lord's chastisement. Are we born of the Lord? Are we walking with the Lord? Then we must love our brothers and sisters, because this is a seal of grace. So in closing, let us all rise to sing all three stanzas of "Blessed be the tie that binds." Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above.